No matter where I traveled with Robin, the Elvis Show, or other show bands, something was always missing. It was the trees of Michigan. I grew up under the shade of enormous oak and pine trees. I could walk through them to a stream or river and take a drink or go fishing and swimming. The need for time back in the woods with green trees became more necessary than the need for green that could be made by playing music. Then I was blessed with a small package from back home in Michigan. It was from Carolyn's brother, my Uncle Charlie. Once again, he knocked the wind out of me with the 1-2 punch. I know now that he knew I was not where the Lord wanted me to be. And with love in his heart, he tried to point me in a different direction. I'll never forget him as the stiff-necked Christian that helped change my life when he sent me a copy of Hal Lindsey's book, The Late Great Planet Earth. All through school, I was a lousy reader. I will never forget Pat trying to teach me how to spell. I had never read an entire book before. I had always done book reports from the information on the back or outside cover. I had never read a book from cover to cover. So I just thumbed my way through a quick glance at the text, and what I was able to see made me start to read the book from the beginning to the end. Thank you, Uncle Charlie. My life desires changed after reading Hal Lindsey's book. It took me back to a 7-year-old when the Lord had touched me.
Now, friends, as we come today to the book of Genesis,
it matched up very well with what I had heard many nights on the road traveling from gig to gig, listening to Dr. J. Vernon McGee through the Bible 5-year ministries. These two men steered my heart away from the success as the world sees it to succeed in a mission to serve the Lord. Reading The Late Great Planet Earth prepared me for what would happen next. I started missing the trees of Michigan and driving down a dirt road. Shortly after reading Hal Lindsey's book, I got my big break in the music business. Thank you to Eddie Money for believing in my original music. After I turned down his offer to play keyboards, Eddie introduced me to his personal manager, Bill Graham, and I got my big break in the music business. He said,
"I'm fine musicians that believe in the music and the opera as much as you do."
He went on to say,
"Find players that show the same passion for the music as you do. Then I will put you in front of an audience, and we'll see what happens. The audience will tell us if your songs are any good or not."
I took Bill Graham's advice. It took a lot of practice in a short time, but when the band was ready, all of a sudden, I was not. I was married now, but unfortunately, my wife did not mentally survive the birth of our first child. She suffered from postpartum depression and was put into a home by the state of California, and I found myself a single parent. I had to decide if I was a man with a band ready to go on tour or a father with a baby that needed me more. I chose life with my family over a life of music. Ronald Lee Knaus Jr. was born a premature baby, 4 pounds, 8 ounces. Because of his mother's poor health, he was delivered by cesarean section. When her mental state deteriorated, she was put under a doctor's care. And I found myself a single parent. The doctors prepared me for the worst because they did not think the baby would live. I took over 60 pictures in the first 4 days of his life to prove that I did have a son once. For over 30 days, 2 times a day, I drove to the hospital, collected mother's milk, then drove it to Oakland's Children's Hospital and fed my son. I stayed awake as long as I could to see every moment of his life. Then one morning on the fourth day, I woke up sitting in the NICU, the neonatal intensive care unit. I was angry that I'd missed more than one feeding. Then the nurse in charge of the unit picked up the baby's chart and read it to me.
Father has been awake for 3 days. Father has insisted that he do all the feedings. Father, asleep in the chair, do not wake.
And she added,
Doctor's orders, Daddy.
That was the first time someone called me Daddy. Then, out of the blue, a lawyer that I had never met called me and said,
Is there anywhere you can go and disappear?
He said,
The state of California is trying to put your son into a foster home. They say because the mother is in a mental hospital and you are a traveling musician with 2 different addresses, you will not be a fit guardian for your son.
At that time, my home was in California. I rented an apartment in Reno, Nevada, because I also played in the casinos. The lawyer advised me of my parental rights and took me to pick me up my son at the Children's Hospital in Oakland. Then he dropped us off at the San Francisco airport with a one-way ticket to Michigan and 2 bags of baby supplies. By the time Pat and Carolyn picked me up at the airport in Grand Rapids, the FBI had already been to their home twice with a federal warrant for my arrest. Pat said,
I thought you must be in trouble for drugs or something like that. The second time they came, I asked them what they wanted you for, and they said kidnapping your own son.
Pat was very proud when he said,
I told them, if that's what you wanted to arrest him for, then I'm not going to tell you where he is.
I hid out for 2 years, worked at a pig farm, and lived in a log cabin with dirt floors. I could not get a regular job without turning in my Social Security number and exposing my whereabouts. When the baby started crawling and getting dirty, I had to move. So I contacted the FBI to give myself up. They told me to call the Children's Hospital in California because they pressed the kidnapping charges. Then I called the Children's Hospital and I got to talk to the same doctor that 2 years ago tried to take my son away. His sense of humor seemed to be very out of place as he jokingly told me,
Oh, we just wanted to make sure that the baby was going to be all right.
He asked,
Is the baby still alive?
I said, Yes.
We were all wrong about you. If you kept him alive for the past 2 years, you must be doing something right.
And then the doctor ended the stress of being on the run and said,
If you sign up with WIC, Women's Infants and Children Program, which will let us monitor the baby's health, then we will drop the charges with the FBI.
Even though I had to stand in line with pregnant mothers holding our babies with diaper bags over my shoulder, I was glad this time to be left alone. When I went to court to get legal custody of my son, the judge asked me,
Do you know what you are getting into with a baby?
I answered him, No, sir. I was an only child. He said,
I think you are the first man in the state of Michigan to get custody of a day-old baby.
Then I wrote the song Alone Together.
There's only us two.
The lyrics were written to sound like a boy and girl love song. But the words tell what it was like to be a single parent.
There's only us two.
And of a man's love for his child.
To keep ourselves warm. We are alone together.
Years later, Tim King of the Deep Fall Band will put it to music. And the Main Street Band would record it live at the Crazy Horse put it on their CD.